Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. This is one I've been looking forward to for quite a while. We've taken the time to get it scheduled, but finally it's happening. My guest today is Olivia Rigoni, who is a GIS data officer at the National Trust. And basically, I happened to come across an article or a post talking about how OpenStreetMap is being used at the National Trust, the UK's National Trust. And I thought that would be a fascinating topic to go deeper on. So I'm delighted to have Olivia here, who works on this project, heads up this project, and she can take us through it all. Olivia, welcome to the show. Start off by telling us exactly kind of who you are, what you do, what's your background in geospatial?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Olivia. I'm a GIS data officer at the National Trust, and my role largely focuses on sort of project managing one work stream of the Paths and Trails project that we've got. So it sort of largely focuses on acquiring data to understand a bit more about what we've got, so assets and information.
Very quickly, for our listeners who are not in the UK, maybe give us some context on what exactly the National Trust is and kind of the size and scope of it.
Yeah, sure. So we are a conservation charity founded in 1895 by our founders. So that was Octavia Hill, Robert Hunter, and Hardwick Rawnsley. And they were united by a common belief that nature, beauty, and history are for everyone. And so they should be protected for future generations. So 130 years later, we've grown into a membership-based organisation, and we have almost 6 million members and about 40,000 volunteers, and we're the largest UK landowner in England and Wales and Northern Ireland. So recently, we celebrated our 130th anniversary, and we unveiled a new strategy, which is 10 years worth of sort of work, and it focuses on people and nature thriving. And three of the sort of core pillars of the work that we'll do around that is to restore nature, inspire others, and end unequal access. So the Paths and Trails project fits quite nicely.
Yeah, but give us an example of what kind of sites these are. These are like historic homes, castles.
Exactly that. So we've got, I think it's 500 to 600 historic places and gardens and nature reserves. And sort of in that, we've also got about 780 miles of coastline, 250,000 hectares of sort of farmland, that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's big. It's very big.
Yeah, very much so.
But Olivia, I'll be honest with you. If you're celebrating 130 years, I would have thought that would have been ample time to get these locations mapped.
Yeah, very much so.
So what is the mapping challenge that is faced at the National Trust?
So are we talking specifically paths or sort of general
assets? Well, just in general, like what does one do as the GIS officer and what is the task there?
Yeah, sure. So we've got a GIS team, and it's sort of split into data officers and consultants. Within that, the data officers are doing a lot of data editing. So as you can imagine, we've got lots of boundary changes and tenancy agreements that we need to manage. But specifically on the Paths and Trails program, we are looking at sort of how we can better manage our data so it's more interactive, and it includes the permissive path network, which is something that we haven't previously had. So you'll find a lot of the local councils and local authorities focus largely on that public right-of-way data set. And on our land, a lot of that Paths and Trails asset isn't necessarily fitting into that category. So hence, we've sort of got this project going to see what we've got.
Right. And so this is where you're using OpenStreetMap, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so what was the decision to start using OpenStreetMap? I guess what would have been the possible alternatives? I mean, I guess one obvious question that springs to mind is why are Ordnance Survey maps not the right answer here?
Yeah, so there was a few sort of pros and cons for the different options that we had. OpenStreetMap, as you know, is open source, so it meant that many of the sort of leading outdoors providers and routing engines are already using the OpenStreetMap data. So when we look to promote our trails and that kind of thing, it's a very sort of nice way for us to get our data out there. And in terms of things like ordnance survey, we found a lot of the time that the path network was incomplete. So lacking those permissive paths, and ordnance survey doesn't necessarily show what's actually happening on the ground, whereas we found that OpenStreetMap is. And also it gave us a huge head start in terms of the mapping process. So we found that much of the path network had already been mapped. We did find
this was just by random volunteers or random...
Exactly that, yeah. You know, already visitors. In the map, the OpenStreetMap community had already contributed a lot of that. So yeah, there was a bit of work to do just around sort of consistency of tagging and that kind of thing. And we found that the trail network isn't so well mapped compared to the path network. But yeah, huge benefits of using OpenStreetMap.
And so are you and your colleagues actually going out and doing the mapping, or it's more about motivating the visitors to do the mapping, or how does it happen? How's that dynamic managed?
A bit of both, really. So on this project, we had sort of two phases of data capture. So we started with the path network, so every sort of segment of path that we've got. And we worked with the ranger teams to create an initial sort of data set. So that was... doing the sessions with them, making sure we had the access permissions sorted. And now we're moving on to the trail side of things. It's actually physically surveying them. But we're always looking for active volunteers who want to walk with a purpose. So if they are sort of willing to help us maintain that data, then we're very open to having volunteers to doing that.
One challenge that comes up again and again with, let's say, official bodies, government bodies, or I guess groups like yourselves, who have some areas they need mapped, and with one concern that they typically have around OpenStreetMap, of course, is that anyone can change anything, you know, and so people can go on there, you know, obviously you can't prevent that someone, you know, changes something and perhaps makes an error, whether you know, unintentionally or maliciously. How was that a concern for you guys, or how?
And when we were sort of trying to engage some of our property teams, that was probably the biggest concern. So we have addressed that. We've established a bit of a monitoring tool. So we have a development team that have created a Python script, and they detect changes in the data monthly. And we notify our ranger teams automatically if there's a change in OpenStreetMap on their patch, essentially. And they can go into our GIS browser sort of internally, and they can verify it, whether or not they're happy with it or not. If they're not, they can go directly into OpenStreetMap and edit the data.
Okay. And give us, I mean... what are some of the actual geographic challenges? What are some of these paths and trails like? I mean, like, you know, are they hard to map because it's like remote areas, or it's like on the coast and they're falling into the ocean, or what are some of the actual, like some of the field work? What are some of the issues there?
Yeah, so I guess we are in the sort of early stages of the trail surveying, but in terms of the initial data set that we captured, the paths network, we did it remotely. So using the sort of aerial imagery where we've got tree cover, it's sometimes quite difficult. So we used sort of heat maps and things like that to sort of help with that process and that on the ground knowledge from our ranger teams. In terms of the physical surveying, we have had some challenges. We've got an example sort of East Head. It's a spit and ever changing, and the trail itself moves all the time. So actually getting that mapped is challenging. It is difficult, and we've sort of got to go with the best that we can do and accept that it is just a dynamic environment.
And how familiar were you and your colleagues with OpenStreetMap when this project started? And specifically, you know, was there a big kind of training involved, or how did you go about that?
Yeah, very much so. So I had a bit of experience with it before, and some of my colleagues did. But in the initial stages of data capture, we were going out to every property, and our ranger teams weren't necessarily familiar with OpenStreetMap. Some of them have heard of it, and they'd used the data in sort of routing platforms and things like that before, but none of them really had ever used like the ID editor and that kind of thing. So we did go through a stage of training. So we've now got at least one person at every property that should be trained up to use that. We produced a series of how-to videos for the property team. So we're sort of supporting them, and we've got a bit of a
And you did all just did all that yourself in house, or did you bring in like an OpenStreetMap expert or something, or how do you?
We have worked previously with the OpenStreetMap board, so we get in their support if we've got sort of particularly challenging scenarios. They've been helping us out, but yeah, we did most of it in house.
Congrats. That's fantastic. Okay, and so what are the initial conclusions? What are the problems you discovered, or are people happy with this? I mean, both internally, I guess your team members, but also the end consumers, the actual visitors to the locations.
Yeah, so I guess to give some context around what we're doing with the data, we're sort of in the process of getting to final stages and actually serving that up on some of our platforms. So you'll find currently, if you go on our National Trust website, there's a static map, and that's something that we're looking to change. So we want it to be a bit more interactive. We want to be able to click on things and see different attributes about the network itself. We also want to add filtering so that our visitors can say, okay, I'm coming with a pushchair and the dog, which areas are going to be flat and without barriers and that kind of thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yeah, we did the initial round of data set. We did some analysis sort of to follow that so we understand a bit more about what we've got, where it is, extent distribution, connectivity opportunities, that kind of thing. And it was really largely beneficial for our range teams because they are now able to create their compliance inspections against that data set. So it sort of helps with the program of maintenance. So the infrastructure that's on the ground is all sort of maintained using that OpenStreetMap data. Okay. So it's helping in lots of different ways.
But one question, just to be clear, when you guys edit, I mean, of course, that edit is immediately in OpenStreetMap, right? I mean, it's not yet in your apps and maps or whatever, but it is publicly available immediately, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, yeah. So it is publicly available on OpenStreetMap. For our Ranger teams, we download it on a monthly basis, so it's not quite as live, but... yeah, we sort of encourage our users to use that data already. It's just not yet on our websites directly.
Got it. Okay, and any feedback yet from, I guess it's not yet in your stuff, but I presumably, you know, people that, at least some percentage of the people that are visiting your locations are using OpenStreetMap already or using all the various different hiking apps and things that build on top of OpenStreetMap. So they've already seen these improvements and changes. Has there been any feedback?
We've had a little bit of feedback. I think we anticipate more coming from the sort of new digital improvements that we're looking to implement. But it's definitely being used in plenty of other ways. I mean, the... landscape recovery projects that we've got at the Trust require access maps. So the OpenStreetMap data is being used in those. Like I say, it's being used by the Ranger teams to sort of support those maintenance programs of the infrastructure on the ground. So we have had a bit of feedback around sort of improvements that they are seeing actually at our sites on the ground. Largely positive. It's nice to have the sort of real world updates. So if we've got a tree that's fallen down, we can sort of put in a temporary closure on the map and that kind of thing.
And I mean, what was the state of how well were these places mapped before you started in OpenStreetMap? I mean, presumably some of them at least were partially covered also just by volunteers and stuff mapping as they hike. So
yeah, very much so. To give a bit of context, I suppose, I think SusTrans did a similar project and it took them a couple of years. It took us about 6 months to map all of our properties in the first instance of the paths network. We're anticipating about 10 months worth of work to map the trails. The path network themselves were largely there already. Lots Fantastic. Of people use them for their sort of routing and that kind of thing, activity-based apps. The trail network, less so. So that's something that we're looking to focus on at the moment.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. Trail mapping, there are so many different use cases, right? With like, obviously people who want to hike, but as you said, people who want to know the elevation profile and the surface, but also then you have trails for bikes, horse riding, and things like that. I mean, do you have all those different use cases? And if you had to map all those cases and, you know, make sure everything's tagged correctly and everything?
Yeah, so in this round of data capture, our focus is going to be on promoted walking trails. And we will look to do some of the cycle stuff and equestrian if it's sort of part of the multi-use trails and things like that. So it will sort of save us work down the line. But yeah, we can't do it all at once, unfortunately. So we have had to sort of focus our scope towards the majority of our audience, which is a walking audience.
What... What advice would you have, say, for other large organizations that want to start relying on using OpenStreetMap? I mean, what would you say has gone well here, but what was also kind of surprising, or what were the learnings that you think?
Yeah, so we got in contact with the OpenStreetMap UK board, and they've been very supportive, and they've offered us plenty of advice over the years on sort of specific mapping scenarios that we've struggled with, or sort of how to engage with the OpenStreetMap community more effectively. And they've sort of answered any questions about how that might impact search engine optimization and routing and so on. But in general, I would say the most important thing that we found is sort of being transparent and engaging with the OpenStreetMap community. So we've had some difficult scenarios where we've got paths passing over countryside rights of way and Crowland, and ideally we'd like to discourage the use, whether it's because footfall is damaging World Heritage sites or we've got peatland restoration in those areas. So while we can't prevent people walking on some of those paths because of their sort of legal designations, actually engaging with that audience so that they can understand why we're editing in the way that we are has been really useful, and it sort of helps the data be maintained going forwards. And also we've been posting on the sort of organized editing Wikipedia pages and the forums that we've got to get a bit of feedback. And we've had some really useful suggestions as a result of that. So things like Street Complete and Vespucci have been sort of suggested our way. Using the roles on the members of our relations, that kind of thing has all been largely useful.
Well, what a fantastic success story, because I mean, this is one of the dreams, right, that we have within the OpenStreetMap community, is that, you know, especially when the project started, you have these individuals who are motivated to map, you know, their neighborhood or their area, or you know, maybe they're a passionate hiker or mountain biker or whatever, and they map trails and things like that. But you know, there's a limit to how much a passionate individual can do. And at some point that passionate individual, you know, moves away or goes on holiday or whatever, or, you know, has a life change that, you know, they no longer have the passion. So we need to find ways to engage with organizations like yours who have an ongoing mission and have a team and have, you know, the individuals come and go, but the organization stays and, you know, hopefully can continue to map the changes and do the maintenance work, frankly, because it is very exciting, of course, to map new things. It's much less exciting to do the maintenance work. And so this is really the reason I wanted to get you on here to talk about what this great success story.
And we see it as being something that other sort of outdoor brands use and sort of implement as well, because the more of us that are doing it in a sort of consistent manner, the better the data set is going to get in terms of data sharing.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. So in that regard, of course, I would love to have you or one of your colleagues come speak at GeoMob in London and go deeper on this. And of course, also, you know, one of the weaknesses of our podcasting format is it's not visual, so maybe you could show off some of the cool locations on the maps and take us through, of course, also some of the... I'm sure there were some challenging places to map. And likewise, I don't know if you're aware, but it was just announced that State of the Map Europe, the main European OpenStreetMap conference, will be in Scotland this year in November. Yeah. So... I'm not an organizer of the event, but I'm sure I speak on their behalf when I say this would be a fantastic project to present at that conference. What a great success story. And so when will this be actually, when will the data percolate through and be in also all of your maps and your digital services?
It's a good question. We're currently working with our IT teams to sort of get the technical process down. But I'm hoping that sort of next year we'll start to see some of those changes. At the moment we've got sort of smaller edits that are going up on the website, but yeah, most of those sort of upgraded maps and that kind of thing, we're hoping for next year.
Okay. And do you do anything, will you do anything also to educate the visitors that you are using OpenStreetMap, or it's more just they're kind of presented with a map and, you know, I assume it will, you know, attribute OpenStreetMap, but is there any kind of process to engage with them and ask them to contribute in some way, or it's more just here's the map and behind the scenes it's made with OpenStreetMap?
Yeah, I think we could definitely do more in that space, to be honest. We are working with companies like Slowways to see if we can sort of get volunteers involved in that kind of thing. So a bit of a citizen science thing. But yeah, I think there's definitely more that we could do to sort of encourage our audience and visitors to get involved. We'd really like to sort of have an active volunteer base that are walking with a purpose. We do have some volunteer groups at the Trust who sort of get involved in walking, but yeah, we're sort of looking to mobilise them and get them using OpenStreetMap to sort of serve.
Well, I no longer live in the UK, but I did live there for a long time, and I know there are many people who are very passionate about the National Trust, and it's a big part of kind of how they spend their free time and going to the different locations, which are obviously excellent. Olivia, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with about this project or in general? And
no problem at all.
Any closing thoughts?
I would just say if anyone sort of wants to get in touch, we've got two different sort of email addresses that you can reach out to. So it's opendata@nationaltrust.org.uk or outdoor.experiences@nationaltrust.org.uk.
Fantastic. We'll, of course, be sure to get those in the show notes. And Olivia, I am going to hold you to this commitment to come to give a talk in London, because I think this is really a fantastic project in its own right, but one that I think really hope can serve as a case study also to many others. And it can be a great example of the OpenStreetMap community working together with larger bodies for the benefit of all. So
yeah, brilliant. We'd love to attend.
Congratulations to you and your colleagues, and the great news for anyone who's out hiking at any of your locations.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.